Yeah, a kid's a friend of Jesus. And you too can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, discipleship is huge. It's just making friends with God. And if God's already done a work in your life, like you've heard the Michelle story, you've heard Jessica's story, and we keep featuring stories, it's just because God is discipling us. He's making us his followers. And we want to get to know him more. I want to mention a resource to you. It's free of charge. It's online if you have a computer and internet. This morning I had a wonderful time of worship before coming to this place for worship. It's oneplace.com, O-N-E. Place, P-L-A-C-E.com. If you go to oneplace.com, there's just hundreds of radio ministries where you can hear just great preachers. So that, you know, you're going to hear a great preacher this morning, but you just might need a little boost through the week. So you can log on to oneplace.com. For any of you who've ever wanted to study the book of Revelation, I've had a few people ask me about that. Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries. So if you go to oneplace.com and then find Precept Ministries, Kay Arthur, Kate's chuckling. My son saw me studying this week, and he saw Kay Arthur on the screen, and for some reason it reminded him of our Kate. And I heard him wrong, and he says, "Daddy, is that Kay?" I'm like, "Yes, how do you know Kay Arthur in Precept Ministries?" And he's like, "Well, she works at the church." So, nonetheless, that was our humor for the week. But yeah, check it out, oneplace.com, Precept Ministries, and you can click on Archives, and you'll see the title, Jesus is Coming. And that's the beginning of a study in Revelation. It's wonderful. It takes about 25, 30 minutes, and just something for your own spiritual growth. Okay? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer and intercede for many people. Father, this morning we are privileged to be in your house again, and thank you so much for allowing us to already hear the word of God through Jessica. And Lord, she's right, you are alive and well in Panama, and you are alive and well in Canada, and all around the world. And Lord, we celebrate that diversity, and sometimes it's hard because we see cool things happening in places like Panama, and then Canada is just different, and countries all around the world express so differently to you, Lord. But we thank you that you hear every language, you hear every prayer, you hear every tongue, every celebration. And Lord, you respond to your people. And so this morning, we, your people, ask you for your hand of blessing for a number of people, in particular for Danielle, as she's serving in the Middle East. Lord, we ask for her and her team and that ministry there, that your presence would be known among them, that your Spirit's protection and guidance and counsel would be fellowshipping with them. And Father, even as her dad, Randy, mentioned to me this morning to pray for these South Koreans, I guess I'm out of the loop, Lord, but there's the South Koreans who have been taken captive by the Taliban. And Father, we intercede for them, and there are going to be many people lifting them up this morning. And Lord, we trust and believe that you are a just God, and you know exactly the plan that's going to unfold. And Lord, I guess I understand today's kind of a deadline day. So Lord, again, we would ask, if it's part of your will and your plan, that your Spirit would withhold evil in that place, and that you may free them, or otherwise, Lord, cause the gospel of Jesus Christ to be spread through their lives. And Father, there are many people even listed in the back of our bulletin, Rose Dash, Jack Ingemore, many other people that we're praying for all the time. And Lord, some of them are in the midst of long suffering, very long suffering. And so Lord, we ask that you would lift them up in this day. We ask for that blessing and that joy of the Lord to be poured out upon them as well. Now, Father, as your servant comes to share the word of God this morning, again, Lord, we ask that our hearts would be open, ready to receive that seed that you're willing to plant in us today. Cause it to grow into fruit, we pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Mandy, it is good to have you come back and share the word of God. Mandy has done many things in the life of this church, but is this the second time or third time? How many times have you preached now? Well, I was thinking ahead, and I got back from the mission trip, and I got to church, and I thought, oh man, I got to prepare music because practice is tonight. I got home at 3:30 in the morning, and I guess it was Tuesday morning. So I came to church, and I found out that in my strange wisdom, I had already penciled in Kevin to lead worship and Mandy to preach so that I could rest this week after the mission trip. So Mandy, thank you for coming and sharing the word.
Good morning. It is quiet this morning. How is everybody doing this morning? No, I'm serious. How are you doing this morning? I hear some goods. I heard a great. That's awesome. Well, we've heard the word of the Lord this morning from Jessica and others. Maybe we should just go home. What do you think? No, I set you up there a little bit. Because I wanted to set up the following quote. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's from Henry David Thoreau, and he says, "Most of us lead lives of quiet desperation." Some of you may have heard that. And I think that some of us may feel like we're closer to that reality this morning than to the, "Oh, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling good." I think that we don't always share that with us on a Sunday morning, but maybe if you could think about your lives, and you don't have to indicate in any way, you don't have to raise your hands, but perhaps some of you feel as though you are in a desperate situation this morning. And maybe if you're not, because I don't expect that everybody will be, you could maybe think about a time when you were, or you could think about a time when you might be. I often find that I get in desperate situations, and this is owing to the fact that I have a terrible sense of direction. Just terrible. I can't tell my left from my right. And if you tell me to go north or west when giving me directions, I have no idea what you're talking about. North is whatever way I'm facing at the moment to me. And I can recall one time in particular when I was driving home from Prince Albert to Regina, where I lived at the time. And it was evening, on a Sunday evening, and normally I could make the drive on about a tank of gas, but I was running out of gas that day, and so I pulled into a small prairie town to fill up with gas. And I was very proud of myself, because I did find the gas station, even though I had to make one turn off the main drag, and it was closed. And so I still could not fill up with gas, and so I pulled out, and I made a wrong turn somewhere. Now keep in mind, this is a very small prairie town, and so there can't be that many turns to make, let alone wrong turns, but I managed, and I was completely and utterly lost. And I knew there was a highway somewhere in about a kilometer away in some direction, and I had no idea where it was, and I was running out of gas, and I just remember sitting there in my car, just feeling completely desperate and hopelessly lost. Now, obviously, I can laugh about it now. I'm not still driving around that town. I got out of the situation. So it was desperate at the time, but obviously it wasn't that desperate. Many of us live in more desperate situations than that. People have desperate marriages. They have desperate financial situations. Some people have desperate jobs, desperate family problems. The list goes on and on. Many people that we pray for have desperate medical problems. And so you might be pleased to know that the Bible is often filled with people in desperate situations. And I'd like to look at one of those this morning. And so we come to our scripture reading. If you'd like to turn with me, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 to the end of the chapter. That's 2 Samuel 5. Starting at verse 17. And we read, "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go up and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?' The Lord answered him, 'Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands.' So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, 'As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me.' So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Once more the Philistines came up and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, and he answered, 'Do not go straight up, but circle around behind them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the poplar trees, move quickly, because that will mean that the Lord has gone out in front of you to strike down the Philistine army.' So David did as the Lord commanded him, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. And if your translation was slightly different than mine, I was reading from today's New International Version. But may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Well, this account is from the life of David. And you might conclude, rightly, that he faced a very desperate situation. Allow me to fill you in on a little bit of history up to this point. You see, the passage starts out, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel. This means that David had been anointed king over both the kingdoms of Judah, which he had been previously anointed king upon King Saul's death, and also over the kingdom of Israel, which upon Saul's death had actually been taken over by one of Saul's sons. But now David is king over both the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. And this is something that God had promised to him many, many, many years ago, even before our recorded story of David and Goliath. David has been waiting for this promise for a long time. But it is the fact that he received this promise, that he became king over all of Israel, that causes the Philistines to attack. You see, they decided that David had far too much power now to mount an army and to defeat the Philistines, and so they decided to attack first. They spread themselves out over the Valley of Rephaim, which, when translated to us, would be the Valley of Giants. And I think that might have some significance for us this morning. And what they're doing is they are flexing their muscle. They're trying to show off, look how many warriors we have, we can fill up an entire valley. And that is where they felt that their strength lay, in the fact that they had so many warriors. But David doesn't rely on the strength of his army. David relies on the strength of his God. David is in a desperate situation. And so I do return to my earlier questions. What stands in your valley of giants this morning? What problems are you facing in your life? Do the problems or the challenges that lay before you seem like giants in comparison to your resources? Well, I'd like to invite you this morning to take a moment and consider David's example. What did he do when he was in the face of a hopeless situation? David inquires of the Lord. Now, how exactly did David do that? Well, probably David used sacred stones and an Israelite priest to interpret an answer to his question. And so you're probably wondering how that applies to you, because most of us probably don't have access to sacred stones. I know that I don't. Maybe Pastor Devin does. Not sure. I haven't asked him. But how do we, here in this place, inquire of the Lord? And I hope that's at least on some of your minds. Because when I first was preparing this message, I was so confounded as to how we might inquire of the Lord that I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to talk about it this morning. I wanted to put the focus somewhere else in this passage, and it just didn't work out for me. And so I really believe that this is God's word to us this morning. There are two things that I think that we need to consider when we think about how we might inquire of the Lord. And I don't even want to mention them because they are so simple. They're simple, but I don't think that means that they are easy. Our two ways of inquiring of the Lord are through prayer and through Scripture. Simple, right? Too simple? I don't think so. And I'd like to take just a moment and consider them each this morning. Prayer. Prayer is the simple act of talking to God. And to be honest, it is one of the most profound things that I have encountered in my Christian life. Many of you might be familiar with that hymn. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's right. Prayer can be a challenge, and it's not always easy, but it is always worth it. And it is one way that we have been given to inquire of the Lord today. When our valley of giants is filled with giants, one weapon that we possess is prayer. And prayer doesn't have to be eloquent, and it doesn't have to be long. It can be as simple as this: Dear God, fill in the blank. Amen. That's it. That's talking to God. That's inquiring of the Lord. God's word tells us to pray continually. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's the second shortest verse in the Bible, so you can all go home and memorize it today. Pray continually. God has instituted a way for us to talk to him through prayer. And the second way that we are given of knowing God and his will is through his word to us, the Bible. It is home to words of admonishment, support, comfort, even direction. And all this occurs in the most unlikely of places. How many of you would have expected to open your Bibles this morning to 2 Samuel 5:17 and expected to find a word on prayer and scripture? I'm not sure I would have, but here it is. And Jessica shared how God spoke to her through a story of David's on my mind this morning, but spoke to her through God's word this morning. The Bible claims to be a living and active word to us today, and that's what that means, that this, even the history, even the Psalms, everything in God's word has a way to speak to us today. And we must not overlook the wisdom, the promises, the lessons, and the stories of Scripture as a place to turn when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel lost. You see, we are free to pour out our hearts to God when we pray to him. And I really believe that he pours out our heart, his heart to us through the words of our Bibles. How many of you visited our lovely church library? It's a great place. And there's one quote in there that often catches my eye when I go in there. It says, "The man who does not read good books has no advantage over the man who cannot." And this is true of us today when we're talking about our Bibles. And my intention this morning is not to make you feel guilty about anything. But we do have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to God's word in North America. I won't even tell you how many Bibles I have on my shelf at home. I'm a student of God's word, what can I say? But there are people in this world who do not even have access to one Bible because maybe their government prohibits God's scriptures to them, or maybe because they do not have God's word in their own native language. But those of us who speak English, which are probably most of us here today, we can read the Bible in about 50 different translations, and we have resources to us in Bibles that have devotionals devoted to couples and devotionals devoted to men and to women and to dog lovers. I'm sure that one's in there somewhere. You see, we all have no excuse because we have access to Bibles. We have access to Bibles in our pews this morning. And there are people all throughout history who did what they could and God blessed them, but did not have access to the kind of thing that we have in God's word. But if we do not read our Bibles, we're no better off than those who cannot read them. It is a failure in our spiritual lives to forget the sure ways that God has given to us of speaking to him. You see, the problem is that we become convinced, I become convinced, that I know the best way. And I get so disappointed in the outcome. Or I get so anxious because I'm the one who has to do all the work that I forget to pray and I forget to read my Bible. Or worse yet, I refuse to pray or read my Bible. But David sets an example for us this morning. David practices what I'm talking about here, not just once, but twice. See, in David's story, he beats the Philistines one time, and then they go ahead and they fill up that valley a second time with warriors. That's how many warriors they had. But David just goes right back to God. He inquires of the Lord again. And friends, sometimes our challenges will recur. Sometimes we need to pray repeatedly or search the scriptures repeatedly. The temptation for us in the face of problems that keep coming at us is to give up. But I think that we need to keep praying and keep reading our Bibles when we're tempted to give up. Maybe even especially when we're tempted to give up. One of the problems that occurs when we're facing giants in our lives is we become very problem-focused. And what starts to happen then is we begin to put God in a box. And what do I mean by that? You see, God in a box is something that I think we do very well. We put God in a box every time we limit his power, every time we choose fear over faith, every time we choose to rely on ourselves rather than on God, every time we let our problems dictate our God. You see, the story would have turned out a lot differently if David, upon hearing that the Philistines intended to attack him a second time, just decides to give up and say, well, then the Philistines can have my promised land. So much for God and whatever he promised me. It doesn't matter, does it? But David does not give up. He refuses to limit God's power by the size of his problems. And friends, when we pray and when we read our Bibles, we are reminded about a God who is far from our enemy wants us to believe. You see, the enemy wants us to take our focus off God, and if he can't do that by making us focus on him, then he would rather have us focus on our problems instead. But Max Lucado puts it this way: don't tell God how big your storm is. Tell your storm how big your God is. David refuses to focus on the Philistines spread out before him. Instead, he goes to God. And so I think that I've spent enough time talking about problems this morning and about discouraging situations. Let's spend a moment and focus on God. These are some of the ways that God reveals himself to us in our Bibles. Do you believe the lie that God cannot forgive you for the terrible things that you have done in your past? When you inquire of the Lord through prayer and through Scripture, you meet instead a forgiving God, the Lord who heals you. Do you believe that God can't make anything out of you? That you're hopeless or ordinary? Meet the architect and builder. God calls himself the potter. And there are many, many characters in the Bible who have been changed when they encountered the living God. Some of them are just Peter and Paul and Moses and Isaiah, but you can read about them on the pages of your Bible. Do you believe that you just cannot go on because you've experienced too much hurt or trouble in your life? How does this God sound to you? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. God calls himself our strength and our support. Do you believe that God just can't possibly understand the troubles that you are going through? Maybe that he doesn't even care about you? Meet the Father of compassion. Do you believe that you are uncared for and worthless? Meet the God they call love. See, God has revealed himself to us in the pages of our Bible, and he's also revealed himself to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but we can know him if we know Jesus. Jesus himself says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. If we read our Bibles, if we pray, when we inquire of the Lord, we are inviting God to blow our minds. We're inviting God to get out of the box that we've put him in. David inquired of the Lord, and God certainly did blow his mind. And David, in praise of this God, gives us this wonderful image of God's power. He says, as the waters break out, so God has broken out against my enemies. And just picture that. Like a river flowing out of control, our God is a flood. And you may have experienced a flood, or maybe you've just seen pictures of the power that they possess. They are powerful forces of nature. And God is the same way. He is powerful in the face of our enemies. When God decides to break out, no human-constructed wall can hold him. God will break out of any box that we put him in. We're talking about a God here who we tried to separate from us by our choices, by building a wall of sin, and he blew that wall apart by sending his only son to die for us, to make a way from there to here. No box can hold God. And so I don't know where you are today. I don't know what you would consider your problems today, but I do know that God is bigger than your problems. If you try to box God, letting your problems dictate who he is, then he will not allow our problems to hold him. Inquire of the Lord and let God blow your mind. Some of you may be familiar with the following words. They're from a VeggieTales song. So if you have young kids, you may have heard them. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman, and he's watching out for you and me. You see, God is bigger than the giants in our lives, and he's encouraged us to call on his name to access his power. And so, friends, I hope that through this example of David this morning in the face of a desperate situation, he has invited you to inquire of the Lord. And I hope that maybe even your imagination has been stretched to believe that God is bigger than our problems, that God is bigger than anything that you're facing today. Even when we are in hopeless circumstances or desperate situations, God is there. And I hope that you have the courage to grasp that reality and to also grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ for each one of you. Permit me to pray with you this morning as we close. Our loving Heavenly Father, precious Son Jesus, and the promised Holy Spirit, we want to praise your name today. In the midst of our desperate situations, as we battle life's giants, we call out to you this morning, and we thank you that you have given your word to us. Please seal this word in our hearts and our minds. Everything that is from you, let us remember. And if any of this word is of human origin, I ask your forgiveness, and I pray that you would not allow it to take root in our minds. And Lord, we praise you this morning because you are the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Amen.
For my soul.